This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome to Open for Business here on Enterprise. Now, with less than 5% of startups likely to be successful, building one is no easy feat, especially when the odds are stacked against new founders. Just this year, the Malaysia Digital Economy Blueprint, My Digital, was launched, where one of the many goals is to catalyze 5,000 startups within the next 5 years. These are lofty ambitions, and they require both private and public sectors to band together in nurturing founders to bring their ideas and businesses to the next stage. And it's a shared vision by the guy I have on the phone. He's the super scaling founder. His name is Alvin Poe. He currently coaches and mentors close to 50 founders of 6 to 7 figure ventures from Malaysia, Singapore, and the UK. And having started a business in Singapore, Alvin is now actively venturing into other markets, namely Malaysia, which has a rich startup ecosystem, as we know, guided by various national bodies. Alvin, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Singapore's most successful web hosting platform, Vodia, something that you sold off for 30 million Singapore dollars. When you were just 33 back in 2017, having built it from the ground up, and of course you've experienced quite a bit of success at a young age. After that, I hear that you took a 2-year hiatus to travel, and upon returning, you sought to leverage your years of experience at Vodian to empower other founders to achieve similar, if not more success than you actually did. Talk to me about Vodian, and the beginning of that and how you kickstarted it.
Wow. So I never knew the word entrepreneur or entrepreneurship. I never knew that I was one. All that I knew of was the fact that, I came from a pretty low income family, and I needed money to hang out with my friends, money to, buy stuff that I want, the latest video game. And things like that.
Yeah.
My family wasn't broke. They paid for my tuition and, my transport. But anything else more than that was on me.
Right.
So the choice that I had back then was either to get a part-time job or, try my hand at business.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out from a very early stage in my life that I had this penchant for business. Even as a kid, I was selling country flag erasers. it's a game kind of, I guess Squid Game kind of reminds me of that, because there was this game where they were flipping the blue and red paper things. The country flag eraser game is something like that.
Right.
You have an eraser, your opponent has an eraser, and your goal is to try to flip your eraser on top of your opponents, and
got
in
it.
Doing so, yeah, you win the eraser.
Yeah.
So I remember as a kid when I found out that the bookstore at in my neighborhood would actually be selling erasers at a lower price than the bookstore in the school.
Mm.
And I discovered that I could go buy boxes of them and bring them to school and resell them to my classmates, earning a profit in the process.
And how old were you when you did this? You were at school, so what age would that be?
That would be in primary school, so I must have been 8 or 10 years old. So we're not talking about millions of dollars here, Richard. This is cents.
It all starts somewhere though, Alvin.
I was happy if I could get enough profit to buy a bowl of noodles in the school canteen, right? And that was a bowl of noodles that's above and beyond, the regular stuff that I could get.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was a start, I guess. I always was dabbling in business, one thing or the other. And at the age of 17, I met my co-founder. I didn't know he was my co-founder at a point in time. He was just this cool guy that I was very friendly with, and we had a really good working relationship. We did everything in school together, assignments, our homework, projects. And so that gave us the confidence to actually start doing business together. We started small. We did freelance web design, web development projects, and eventually just pivoted to focusing on purely web hosting. Mm. And that was the start of Vodian.
Okay. Now, how did it become so successful in such a short period of time? What do you think the kind of spark for that was? How did it happen?
Wow. I wouldn't say it's a very short period of time. I mean, looking back, when I was 17 till like when the business was acquired, that journey took 17 years. That's a pretty long time. So I guess when you look at, you know, the journey across 17 years, I took the longer route, I think. These days, I think it's all about like making the most amount of revenue in like 3 years or 4 years, and then like becoming like a unicorn, and that wasn't my journey. My journey was pretty gradual, pretty slow. We were very conservative, my co-founder and I. So the journey that we took was purely focused on very fundamental stuff, making sure that we were on solid footing every single step of the way. Mm-hmm. We developed the systems, the processes, we developed the people, so that we could actually grow at every stage properly.
Mm. Now, okay, let's fast forward a little bit then. And you're in a position to sell your company. Mm-hmm. You know, why did you decide to sell it instead of, you know, continuing to hold on to it and kind of steer it as the ship that you've been sailing for 17 years?
It was actually supposed to be a merger. At a point of time, we wanted to expand outside of Singapore. Mm-hmm. So that meant more risk, more capital. We needed more like connections. And so at a point of time when Dreamscape, which was the company that acquired us, when they came along, it seemed like a great fit. They were an operator as well. And by that, I mean that, you know, unlike a company that's only in it for, say, financial reasons, like maybe a fund or, you know, a private equity, Dreamscape actually started a business of their own, just like us, more than a decade ago, focusing on domain names and hosting. Mm-hmm. So our history and background were very, very similar. And that gave us the confidence that, you know, these guys seem like a great partner to have. And so we went ahead with the acquisition. They had to wholly acquire us, and we became part of their brand with the expectation and the hope of actually expanding into Southeast Asia. So that was the original intent. But I think things didn't work out the way we thought it would be, and we left. My co-founder and I, we left after about a year, and I don't regret this decision though. Like when we looked at the people that we served, the customers, the employees that we had, the business partners that we worked with, I think we did our best, and we didn't let anyone down. So that's something that I think gave us a lot of, confidence, I think, that what we did was the right thing.
Now, last question before we go into a break here. You're 33, you know, you were 33 years old, and you've just sold this company for 30 million Singapore dollars. And for people here in Malaysia, to put it into some context, it's around, 92 million Malaysian ringgit. And for a lot of people, that's a lot of money, and it screams success to them. How did it feel to you? You know, what does it feel like to be able to sell that company and just sit there just for a moment and think, I've just made 30 million Sing dollars? Selling, these flag things and making sense to that enormous amount of money.
Yeah. Well, when the money first reached our bank accounts, we were pretty shocked. I mean, never in our lives have we seen like so many figures in our bank account before. Yeah. So yes, there was the feeling of disbelief. But here's the funny thing, like the very next day after that transfer was made, we woke up same time, went to the office, doing the same things. In fact, still working on the projects that we had, like that were running. You know, the work and tasks that were stuff that we were working on. Like we dove back into work and started like looking at the stuff that we could improve and deliver, and like nothing changed, I think. And I guess that's the reason, right? Like we had this like really, really big vision of the business that we wanted to make sure that the business was something that would serve customers.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a big part of our journey, to be customer-centric, to create a business that would actually provide the products and services that the businesses need, our customers need.
Mm.
And I think that was our sole like guiding light that really led to our success.
I'm on the phone with Alvin Pohl. He is the founder of Superscaling and the ex-CEO of Vodian. We're going to take a short break. You're tuned in to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Business-filled minds, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Enterprise. This is Open for Business. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm still on the phone with Alvin Pohl. He is the founder of Superscaling and the ex-CEO of Vodian. Now, earlier, Alvin, we were talking about, you know, how it felt when you woke up to see that that money in your bank account. But that's not what I want to focus on. What I want to focus on is after that happened, and a little while later, you took some time off and you went traveling for a while. What I want to ask you is, when you were traveling and when you did take that time off, what do you think you discovered about yourself, and how do you think that helped put you in a position of where you are now?
Wow, cool. Those are great questions. When I was traveling, I had no plans at all. I told myself that never in my life could I actually like take, you know, that this. I mean, I spent I think about 2 years on the road. Never in my life could I have like spent that amount of time without the responsibilities of life, of my career, of work, and all that. So I think during those 2 years, one of the reasons, one of the things that I discovered was who I was. Because when you wake up and the question that you ask yourself, or the question that you have to answer is, Alvin, what do you want to do today?
Right.
And that question like recurs, because you know every single day that's something that you continually need to ask yourself that. And I think that was a time and period of great like introspection. I've never had that time to myself, understanding myself, because all my life, it was always either school or work or whatever responsibility it was, and
some
it just
kind
came.
Of drive, right?
Yeah, it just came at me like. Like there was no period of inflection or self-reflection at all in my life prior to this. Mm-hmm. So I discovered so much about myself in those 2 years, learning about what drives me, what my preferences are, why I do the things I do. And that gave me a really good insight that I really am an entrepreneur. Like every single time I look at, you know, whether it's an activity like snowboarding or traveling the world or talking to people, like the thing that's always on my mind is business. Like, how can we improve this better? How can we create a better process about things? You know, what's the business model around this? I have that in my mind all the time.
Mm.
So,
did that make it difficult for you to choose what you're going to have for breakfast?
it was really funny because I was also going through like various diets when I was like traveling, like, you know, the intermittent fasting diet, the keto diet, the vegetarian diet. I was just experimenting with a whole ton of stuff. So there's a period where I just like skipped breakfast.
Right. Like you say, you're learning about yourself, you know, and I'm guessing it's probably the first time, like you said, that you've had time to just focus on you rather than you and the business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I guess that actually like gave me a greater clarity on what I was going to do next in my life.
Mm.
And one of the things that people asked me a lot was, you know, advice for their own business, whether it's a startup or a business. And I always had trouble answering that because I don't know if you have that you ever came across that, but when people ask you for advice, it's such a broad, open-ended question that, you know, it's really hard to answer because you don't know where they're coming from. You don't know their background. You don't know their context. And when they ask you a question.
Yeah. And what might seem common sense to you, is not necessarily common sense to them too.
Yeah, exactly. And it was very difficult for me to answer the question of, for example, how do I scale my business, right? Or what's wrong with my team? I can't seem to, you know, get my team to work together. Mm. And all these questions, like, man, there's so much behind those questions that I don't know about, right? And that actually led me to come up with the methodology that I have, the 5E scale engine. Because that's a framework that allows both myself as well as the other party to have a very common understanding of, you know, what we're talking about here, like the business, the various principles, the various aspects of the business. And so that allowed me to have a lot more clarity in the conversations that I had with all these people.
Mm. And is it because of this period you think that kind of sparked that interest? People asking you, of course, but is it also this period of like introspection and discovery where you thought, you know, okay, if I can do it, you know, I want to help others do it?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was one that like it was a confluence of various things, right? So there were all these people asking me about advice and mentorship that I couldn't help at that point in time. And there was all these other things that I was doing as well. I was discovering stuff about myself that I didn't know about. For example, I took up snowboarding. I wanted to be a snowboarding instructor. So I actually went for a course and got myself certified. And that was the first time I got certified for such like a thing, like to be an instructor. And it just blew my mind because, I mean, prior to that, I thought snowboarders were just like a bunch of, like, you know, cool people just hitting the slopes. But
it's hard work.
It is hard work. But the thing that actually shocked me or surprised me a lot was the syllabus and the pedagogy that they had, like in the you know, the certification program. It was so thorough because I never knew how much work went into actually like coaching people. Like if you are a snowboarding coach and you want to coach someone, man, there's actually stuff that you go through, the structure, the syllabus, there are things that you look out for, the things that, you know, every individual is different, right? People learn differently, people like do things differently. And so how you teach has to change and adapt to that individual as well. And I learned all of that and I was like, wow, if a snowboarding school can do this, then wow, there's actually a lot more that we can do in terms of like coaching and instruction and teaching and mentoring. So yeah, that kind of blew my mind. So a confluence of all those factors like led me to explore business coaching.
Right.
And that's why, you know, Superscaling was born and, you know, I did what I did, coaching entrepreneurs to superscale their business.
Let's talk about that briefly because, you know, this is a fantastic conversation and I'm terrified that I'm going to run out of time. I want to talk to you now just a little bit about, you know, the thoughts on Malaysia's startup ecosystem and why you think it's, you know, ripe mm-hmm. for growth and success over the next coming years. I mean, it's something that I talk about, you know, every day. You know, I talk to entrepreneurs every day here in Malaysia and outside of Malaysia. And I've seen this. But why do you, as an outsider, look at Malaysia and think, I think this is, you know, the next place to be?
Cool. So I don't actually look at geographies. Like, you know, to me, I think of it as like a global thing. I think of it as a human thing, that mm-hmm. startups are the way to go. Because if we want to innovate, if we really want to evolve, I think the best way to do that is through entrepreneurship, through business. And this comes from anywhere, not just in Malaysia, not just in Singapore. If you look at all the startups in the world, I mean, that's where we get the growth and the change and the innovation. That's how life now is so different from like life like just even like 5 years ago. Yeah. I don't even know if you can remember the time before Uber, but like as I traveled, I was amazed because with Uber, I could just like get transportation anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just astounding. Mm-hmm. I think that's the power of business and startups in general. And that's why I think, not just like learning how to start a business is important, but also how do you actually structure a business such that is able to scale and really get to the next level.
Mm. Alvin, this has been a fascinating discussion and I wish I had more time to pick your brains even further.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been fun, yes. It's been an absolute blast. I do have to wrap up for today's session, though. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gents, I've been on the phone with Alvin Pohl. He is the founder of Superscaling and the ex-CEO of Vodian. Alvin, where can more people find out about Superscaling? Where would be the best place for them to check out?
Definitely hit me up on my website, superscaling.com. I'm on all social media as well. So if you're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, just look me up, Alvin Pohl, and you'll be able to find me.
You have been tuned in to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9. I have been on the phone with Alvin Pohl. Very, very insightful discussion today. Folks, if you missed any part of this discussion, head over to wherever you normally download your podcast from and have a listen there. Or you listen back on the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. For BFM 89.9, I'm Rich Bradbury.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.